I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood Podcast Episode 605, the unofficial official podcast of Esh. All right, this is Electric Sisterhood, the original girl gaming and anime podcast. I'm Siri, sitting in for Ninja Sister and Pandalicious. Ninja and Panda are out of town this week, so I'm back to offer you a clip show. This is a show in a category of clips that are culled from the cutting room floor. The girls have a tendency for their shows to run a little long. Since we keep episodes to run less than an hour and 20 minutes, we excise some segments, but we eventually let you hear them all in a later clip show. This is one of those shows. In the first clip, from episode 602, the sisters told of the takeover of Blue Microphone, that resulted in a protracted discussion of all the microphones we have used in the past 12 years of this podcast.
But before we jump into that, I do want to talk a little gadget stuff.
Okay. We haven't had a gadget for a while, so
I know,
what is
it? It's been a hot minute. Well, you know, you remember how Blue Microphone was purchased by Logitech.
Yep.
And, you know, when the purchase happened, I was a little concerned because, you know, Blue, for the longest time, had been known for making high-quality microphone for voice and music recording, you know, studio-level recording. And then they got into the digital recording realm, and that's really where podcasters embrace the mics because, you know, they did make some really phenomenally quality mics. For the most part, at phenomenally quality dollars, right?
Yeah. And I mean, and it's always been the unofficial official mic that we use here in Esh.
So many unofficial official things on Esh. Like, I really wish, like, somebody would just come through and be the official at some point. But, like, it is the unofficial official microphone of
And we've used these. We each have had our Blues for years.
Well, I mean, the whole team, right?
Yeah, like, the whole team.
And that's why I say it's unofficially the official thing of Esh, because we both have Blue Yeti microphones that we've used before that. We were both on Snowballs at one point in time, because I moved you off of a Logitech onto Blue.
Oh, man. If you remember Pandalicious vocals from podcast episode 1 to, like, 250, those are the Logitech days, guys.
Those were the days!
Oh my god, my audio quality was so shit.
But you didn't even give, like, a fly.
I gave zero fucks. I was like,
you really did.
Whatever, no one's listening.
And I was like, could you please just get, like, a decent mic? And then you took a photo of this, like, $20 mic that you bought at Best Buy.
I was like, here.
Oh, come on. Just use a headset then. And you're like, okay, fine. And then you bought, like, this knockoff Kony headset. And I was like, I can't with this anymore. And I.
What? I'm sorry. I didn't have the dollars.
All right, so I got a new Blue mic, and I gave you
Snowball. You gave me the Snowball, which I had forever, which then I gave to
Blue Onyx over at B3.
So he
and it was, like, literally
forever.
The passing of the torch.
It was. And, I mean, I still have my Blue microphone. I mean, it's probably the big first purchase that I made, you know, towards, you know, the betterment of, you know, me on this show. And it still works, and I still love it. Granted, every once in a while, I'm like, I could upgrade to the Pro. I could.
Well, right, but
it's not broken, so there's no need for me to break it. Like, it's fine.
Right. But in the purchasing of Blue, I was a little concerned about, you know, what was going to happen to the, I would call it the podcaster market. Mm-hmm. Of microphone from them, you know, because Logitech really has been stepping up their game. I give them credit where credit is due. You know, they really have been trying to put a better focus on better audio fidelity, better gaming gear products, you know, that fit the budgets for normal consumers, but do kind of had that intermediate pro level of quality. And I appreciate that a lot.
If you want to expand your knowledge on this, you can do it with this particular device.
Right. You know, they've been making, you know, better gaming keyboards, better gaming headsets. Their gaming headsets are really, really fantastic. I think that they're still a little heavy, but I think that that's something that's going that they're going to continue to work on. You know, their Light series, their G series is really a series to, you know, if you're looking because you're in the market for a new gaming rig, you know, looking at the G series mice and keyboards and headsets, you really ought to take a look at, you know, and they've just been making certain purchases that for me, I really wasn't paying close enough attention to be like, ooh, they're really assembling a massive portfolio, but they're really assembling a massive portfolio. You know, they bought Ultimate Ears, you know, so that's their Beats by Dre and audio file market pleaser with wireless headphones and earbuds and wireless Bluetooth, you know, travel speakers for parties and when you travel and those kinds of things. And then the project of Blue really is kind of where I went, okay, now I'm kind of seeing this all come together between the Ultimate Ears purchase and building up their portfolio of products for gamers and now doing the purchase of Blue. What I see is that they're really focusing on the digital content creator in general so that they can offer them a suite of products that work, right?
Right.
You know, I can have background music because I have my Ultimate Ears speaker in the background that's, you know, maybe pumping out sounds for me. I've got, you know, a high quality microphone now, and if I've got the gear, you know, to do the capture bridge and things like that, that I can actually be a legit streamer with the right gear for playing on my rig. So I do think that that's really the vision that they have. And I they've just been playing the long game and getting at it. And I wasn't really convinced that, you know, it was going to work until I saw an announcement this weekend of a new microphone from Blue that was announced called the Yeti Nano. And what the Yeti Nano is so we both have Blue Yetis, the original Yetis, not even the Pros.
Nope.
Those microphones, they're some heavy-duty microphones. They are digital microphone-based, so that means that they are a USB input for sound. They don't have XLR like the Pro does, so you can do either or. You can do digital recording with the Pro, or you can actually connect it to XLR and use it for, you know, soundboard studio analog recording. You can do both with the Pro. With the Nano, it's a little bit different. It is a digital-only microphone, but unlike the Yeti and the Yeti Pro, which have four different recording modes, which focus on different sides or both sides of the microphone, the Yeti Nano only has two. It does cardioid, so perfect for podcasting, catching voice at the front of the microphone, and then it does omnidirectional, so all sides. So like if you're doing an interview in a room or you're having multiple voices, you know, around the microphone speaking and you want to catch them, it does those two modes and that's it. It's also a shorter microphone. It looks like it's a little bit more plasticky and painted to have a metallic, you know, reflection and finish, but not heavy metal. So it looks like it's a lighter microphone. It's a shorter microphone. The physical round space that it takes up is the same as the Yeti, so it's the same spherical size, but it's only $99.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It has, you know, the same USB in. It has the muting control, the mic control, so you can control. It has a jack, so you can jack headphones directly into the mic, so you can send audio out through it, so you can monitor directly through the microphone as well. And there's an audio control volume control for that built in. So, you know, the core features that are on the Yeti and the Yeti Pro are on the Yeti Nano. So it's a much nicer hit to the wallet. Or I should say an easier hit to the wallet to take.
It's like, it's a jab. It's a jab as opposed to like a full, like, body uppercut. Shot.
Yeah. Like, it's not a body shot. It's not an uppercut. It's a jab. You know, it's your regular, you know, left jab. Okay. But it does make getting your initial setup to be a content creator even more affordable, you know, because your typical good HD webcam is going to be a sub $150 purchase. Now you have a good studio level recording mic that is a sub $100 purchase, you know, and you probably already have your computer. So now it's really just getting your software, and most of your, you know, streaming software is available for free. So now you're talking a sub, really, $300 to get going on the content creating side of the world. And I think that's a very attractive thing. I think that you're going to see even more than we have, more YouTubers, more game streamers, pop up because the technology is now becoming so affordable that it's, I don't want to say it's a throwaway hobby, but it's like one of those hobbies that if you get into, if you pick up this mic and you work on stuff for a couple months and then you kind of phase out of it and you don't come back to it, you're not going to feel like, I wasted so much money on that because it's a $100 hit versus, you know, when I was buying my Yeti was a $300 hit. And the headphones that I had at the time that I was using, which were an Astro set of headphones that I bought, one of the few Astro headsets that I bought because they really sent us a lot of review units, which is why they became the unofficial official headset of Esh for a very long time and still, I think, current reigning champion out of all of our content creators. I think there's only one set that doesn't rock Astros at this point.
Is it Nerdcrave?
No, Nerdcrave's on Astro. It's Phil.
Oh.
Phil the Issues Guy with Phil's Recap and Review.
Okay.
Plug, 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 plug. But everybody else in the family is on Astro headsets for the most part. I'm kind of in a weird transition place where, like, for the podcast, I use Astros. For steaming, I use Lucid Sounds. When I'm traveling, I use Beats.
I mean, actually, right now, I'm sitting on my Lucid Sounds for podcasting now. Only because they're living pillows. They're pillows for my ears. They're super cute because I got the white set. So, like, and it's got, like, the fake, like, gold varnish metallic on it. So I feel very bougie with them on.
Uh-huh.
And when I start streaming, which I'm going to end up doing every other Friday moving forward, I think. So check that shit out when I start announcing that bullshit. That's going to be fun.
That's going to be hot.
That's going to be fun. But I'll be using my Lucid Sounds for that, too.
Yeah.
I'm slowly fading away from the Astros. Granted, I have like 20 sets. So like, right. My love is real.
Like the love is real. Like I find that for podcasting, my Astro headsets are really where I'm most comfortable just because I like the fit over my ear. And they're comfortable for, you know, the couple hours that we sit and we talk because it takes us a little bit of talking to get you guys an hour episode. Like you, when I am streaming for those longer periods of time, it is definitely the Lucid Sound set that I want because they are pillows on my head. It is much lighter. It doesn't pinch. I do feel the weight of my Astros after about 2 hours. And I don't feel the weight of the headset at all because there's really not much weight to the headset at all with the Lucid set. And I'm running LS30s as well. There's all kinds of headset recommendations, and one of these days, we're actually going to get legit about putting together, like, a guide for, like, how to on a budget, because we be two-in on this budget, but it really is affordable now to get a setup to stream. As you advance, there are other things you can add on, like, you know, initially the setup was headset, just console, hit the streaming option from the console, and just run. And now it's, okay, well, depending upon the console, I can actually run, you know, a third-party thing, so I can have overlays, and I can have the ability to have people do the tip jar, and really it's only time to put into that. You know, as I've been working on setting up our stuff for our streaming venture, which is coming, which Panda just alluded to, it has been maybe 3 hours of testing time to figure out how to do the stream, have it go out live to a platform. I've been sending stuff out to Mixer as our test, but, you know, Twitch is also an option. You know, maybe those 3 hours of investigating trial and error to figure out how to get those things sent out. It's going to be Mixer, by the way, just in case you guys...
I will also, just for fun, randomly, you know, stream on Twitch, just because the PS4 makes it ridiculously easy.
Yes.
But, like, for the project thing, that will definitely be Mixer. But, like, for my fun shit, that will be on, you know... Granted, not to say my Mixer shit won't be fun. But, like, when I'm just, you know, being me... But
you do know that you can stream your PlayStation to Mixer, right?
No.
Yes.
No, I did not know that.
Yes. You can stream everything
to Mixer. All my shit is on Mixer now.
I was just saying, like, I know, like, the integration is there, but, you can stream PlayStation to Mixer.
Oh, okay then. Well,
PS4, like, I've been watching people PS4 play Spider-Man on Mixer.
Okay, so then, never mind. So once I get more educated on that, you will see some of my PS4 shit on Mixer.
It's not complicated.
This is me we're talking about.
I know, and this is what I'm saying. For you, Panda, it is not complicated.
As long, it's like plug, if it's three, plug and play,
it's three extra clicks.
I'm all set.
Three extra clicks. It's just three extra clicks. I think that the Yeti Nano is a really interesting device for Logitech, basically. It's Blue's, but Logitech owns them, so it's Logitech. I do think that this is just kind of Logitech's way of assuring people that, yes, this is who we're focusing on. You know, there's still going to be the recording level, you know, microphones for musicians and studio artists, and Blue is not going to stop doing that. But really, our reason for acquiring them is we are double downing on the content creator market, and so we're going to be creating more quality level recording equipment, microphones, travel microphones, those kinds of things for that market that are affordable but still give you the quality that you come to expect from a Blue microphone. And that was reassuring, because my fear was that, like, remember initially when Skull Candy came out and everybody was like, their shit headphones.
Candy. Well, no. But when first Skull Candy came out, we're like, aw, this shit. And then right. Skull Candy got bought by... Who'd they get bought by?
Skull Candy bought Astro.
Okay. That's right. So then people were like, shit, we're going to get an upgrade. Because Astro's...
And it was a massive upgrade.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, by the way, since now that we've absorbed Astro, we're going to ask for this price. And granted, Skull Candy, they had given me a review of their headset after their merger with Astro. And while the quality of sound was good, the headset was just so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the Wi-Fi connection, because you'd wanted to wear them wireless, and that was like their big thing, but they just didn't have the wireless tech in these for good sound throughout. Like, it'd be great for like the first hour. And then all of a sudden, I'd hit latency issues, and I wouldn't hear shit. And then I'd be like, fuck it, go back to my Astros. Like,
yeah, it wasn't there yet. Can't handle latency. So I would say that they've definitely gotten better at time, but I think that, you know, that's one of the things that, again, gave me pause about the Logitech acquisition was I remember the Skull Candy acquisition. And I remember, you know, how long it really took Skull Candy to figure out and adapt some of the technology that Astro was using in their headsets in a way that they could release a more consumer-friendly product that still had quality, you know, and they finally got there, but it took them some years to figure it out. And it's not easy, you know, because when you are known as a high-end product, people know that the dollars that they're spending, okay, are going for those high quality innards and a product that's going to last for a low period of time. Okay, when you buy a $6.99 set of earbuds at the checkout counter, you know that you're not buying a quality product. You're buying a product that's going to get you through because you need something for the right now, for the moment. But this isn't going to be your long lasting thing versus, you know, when you make a high quality product purchase, right?
Right.
Like, I'm not buying a set of headphones at the checkout when I'm walking out of bed Best Buy, because I am looking at headphones, if I'm looking at headphones or a headset, for something that's going to last me a while. So I'm going into the store deep and going to, you know, the peripheral section, and I am going to be walking out with, you know, a higher dollar headset because I want the lasting thing as opposed to the impulse purchase, you know, based on I need it right now and it doesn't have to be great, right? And I think that there are some things to be said to, like, feed that market, because there are some times that, yeah, you know, I'm traveling on a trip and I just need a quick set of headphones to monitor for this one thing and I'm never going to use them again. So, yeah, I just need, you know, a less than $20 set of headphones because I just need a quick thing for this thing. They don't have to be great. I just have to get through this process versus, okay, this is going to be my thing that I'm going to travel with all the time. So it's got to be noise canceling so I can be comfortable on the plane or train or, you know, whatever transit thing that I'm in. Exactly, you know, versus, okay, I'm going to be sitting and streaming for hours, so I need something that's going to be comfortable for doing that. You have different use cases for different products, and so there needs to be a product that fits each of those use cases, right? And I think that, you know, companies that do a great job of understanding that and going, okay, so this is how we're going to appease these people, and here's the extra oomph that we're going to give you. We're going to give you slightly better quality than you expect as far as how long they're going to last. in the lower end product. And in the mid-range products, we're going to give you the bump of the quality that you expect, but we're also going to give you a little bit better design aesthetic than you expect at that dollar range. And we're also going to give you a little bit better warranty than you expect at that dollar range. And that's how we're going to differentiate ourselves. And then our high dollar folks over here, we got you covered in so many different ways we can't even tell you. But thank you, everybody, for all your money. And I feel like Skull Candy's finally gotten there between, you know, the Skull Candy line of headsets and, you know, just leisure, you know, music listening to headphones and on ears versus what the Astro line is doing. And I feel like Logitech is starting to get there with what they're doing with, you know, Ultimate Ears and the G series, and now what they're doing with Blue. I was concerned that I was going to have to start looking at different microphones for us to use because I was afraid that maybe the quality on the digital side wasn't going to be where it needs to be. But looking at some of the sample recording videos that they've put out, the Yeti Nano looks pretty solid. And so while I don't have any problems with my Yeti right now, it's been working for almost 7 years at this point, knock on wood.
Yeah, I was about to say, we've had them for a while now.
Yeah, like this one, and this one's battle-worn. This Yeti that I'm using right now, it's been on three different boom arms. It's been to five different trade shows. It's been out to E3 twice. You know, it's been in some, you know, suitcase travel, as well as backpack travel and shows. You know, it's battle worn, and yet it's still producing. But I do know that at some point I'm going to have to upgrade the mic, and I was afraid that I was going to have to start investigating different mics. I'd actually started looking at Sennheiser,
because Sennheiser has always been in our family, though, because we've had Sennheisers in the house multiple times throughout.
Sennheiser was before Astro. Sennheiser was the headset. You know, because Sennheiser has been known for great mic quality. Like, that's, I know Sennheiser better for their microphones and really their lavaliers and handheld mics than their headsets and then their headphones. They've really done a great job on their headphone market side. And they're also focusing on content creators as well. So they have a line now of gaming stuff that Sennheiser is doing. And I'd started to research it because I was like, holy shit, I've been sleeping on Sennheiser. And while I was sleeping, they were over here making some serious inroads. You know, they have an entire line of gaming products. And not just headphones, but mice, mouse pads, keyboards, headphones, microphones for podcasting, headphones for streaming. And I'm just like, wow, like Sennheiser over here not fucking with around with people. And maybe I might need to like look into them. So I was glad to see that, again, the Yeti Nano is out. You could go to Blue Microphones website. You can also go to Logitech's website, search them out, and check out the Yeti Nano. I think it's superly affordably priced. When it comes time to replace microphones, I'm not sure. It might be a Yeti Nano. It actually might be a Sennheiser mic. Because like I said, I've been doing some research. But it's just really cool for me to see right now so many developments from different companies trying to solve the need for content creators. You know, Elgato now has a full kit for people that want to stream, including a pop-up green screen.
Damn.
Like, just remember this. Come back with me, nerds, for just a hot moment, if you would. Okay, let's go back 10 years ago when doing chroma key, aka green screen, required that you had a very, very expensive computer to even process the video, and it needed to be quite simplistic clips that you were putting in said green screen, that it took hours to render the right knockout separation so that you didn't have that weird ghosting effect where lime green would just show up in between the hair strands. And it took a huge investment of actually having the right lighting in the room and having the right greens to use and things like that. And now, for basically $500, you can order a kit from Elgato that will have a pop-up standing green screen for you to put behind yourself so you can overlay yourself in your game and your stream. The Stream Deck control, which will let you set up scenes in whatever streaming platform you're using, whether it's OBS, XSplit, Lightstream Studio, which is web-based. Doesn't matter if you're using any of those or Streamlabs stuff. You can actually set up keys and scenes so that you can trigger them off. So you get the Stream Deck thing. You could get the capture bridge, an HD capture bridge that is completely portable, or you can get a capture bridge if you have a PC tower that is mountable to your rig that will do 4K, not just 1080p, but 4K capture. And again, all of this for under $500. 10 years ago, that system...
That was not a reality.
...was a $4,000 system. Because damn near every computer now, you know, ships with some kind of video editing software. If it's a Mac, it ships with iMovie. If it's a PC, more than likely, depending upon where you got it, it's either shipping with, you know, Sony Vegas or
iMovie. I made movies with iMovie.
There's quite a lot of YouTube content still out there that was made with iMovie.
Yeah.
By you. I am not trying to put you on blast or anything, but ba-da-ba-ba-ba! Freaking Fridays with Pear Delicious.
Oh my god.
Because I didn't take any of that shit down, and people are still watching those videos.
I don't think so. I don't think any of my videos have cracked 1,000
Not in,
views.
Like, huge numbers, but, like, there's still, like, twos and fews.
Like, hey, I remember when she did videos.
I get the email updates every week, trust me.
It's like, oh, people another person decided to come back videos. And check this out.
Yep, somebody discovered us on YouTube and they're like, hey, what is this thing? So, I know I've been talking about this gadget a lot. Gadgets of Lunch.
The Sistas are indebted to Kingdom Hearts because the original game was the subject of the very first episode of this podcast back in 2006. The next sequel of that game is due very soon. So, in episode 601, the girls discussed their anticipation for that game.
So, in talking about Kingdom Hearts 3, which is finally coming out in January 2019, which expect all podcast episodes in January, by the way, to be Kingdom Hearts related in some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
I'm warning you guys now because we're going to be all.
It's not a warning. It's just a reality that they have to accept.
Right. I mean, it's a fact of life. That's what's going to happen.
You take the good, you take the bad.
You take it both and there you have the Kingdom Hearts.
Yes.
The Kingdom Hearts. But it's interesting that you mentioned that because, you know, I actually was doing some research on Kingdom Hearts because I'm ready for January to be here because I really, really, really want to play this game. Like, I've been doing more digging into it than I have, like, Soul Calibur, which comes out, I think, later this month.
I'm very surprised about that because I thought you'd be all about...
Oh, don't get it twisted. I am going to be all about the new Soul Calibur game and you will be getting it so that you can play me in it.
Right.
Even if I have to buy you a copy.
No, don't do that.
That's what's
going to
happen. But one of the things about Kingdom Hearts that always kind of like was a nudge to me, and we've mentioned this before a little bit on podcasts, was that so much of the lore and the story happens in the handheld games.
I think they do a lot more exposition and world developing in the 3DS and the DS worlds than they did in the...
A whole bunch. I actually found, I think it was Eurogamer, did a video that's like 45 minutes long, which basically puts the story together chronologically. Mm-hmm. So rather than from just, you know, the games chronologically in the order they were released, they actually went through the story of what was covered in each game chronologically to get to the story of where 3 is going to pick up.
Okay.
And it was really interesting to me to see, like, where everything factors in between, you know, 358 over however many days.
2 days.
And Dream Drop Distance and...
All the remixes.
And the remixes of where they slatted in. And I realized that there was so much of the story that I didn't have, that I hadn't put pieces together because I hadn't played those games. Like... I didn't know that Xehanort had 2 copies of himself, not just one.
Oh, I mean, technically, actually, there's more than 2.
Right, but there's 13.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know.
Step back, Voldemort. 7 splices of your soul?
Yeah.
Ain't got nothing. Xehanort split himself 13 times.
Xehanort split himself 13 times.
13
Fuck
times.
Out of here with your 7 horcruxes. Get on this level, bitch. That's why you lost to Neville Longbottom.
Hey, don't be talking about my bae like that.
No, Neville is the shit.
Neville's fucking hot.
Let's just, first of all, I was not even about being hot, although he's hot.
He was, I mean,
Neville's
I thought he
the
was hot when he was a porker, because I was like, because he's going to get
He wasn't even that much of a porker.
coworker. No, but like he was like, I'm the dumpy friend. No one's gonna love me. It's like, boo, I love you. I'm gonna like, watch your transformation with this popcorn. Hey. And you're gonna have a beautiful soul, ugly duckling, and here I am to pick you up and love and encourage you.
And then book boom, one. Bitch was a swan. Surprise!
Bitch was a swan, kills a snake, boom, kill yep. shot.
And real that's chosen why one. You Get shouldn't woke. Judge a book by its cover. But I didn't know that, so I was addicted to this video, and so I would say for anybody who's like looking to put the pieces together on Kingdom Hearts, it's a great video to watch because, I mean, the commentary is a bit droll. Like sometimes, just don't try to force the funny.
I really like that we're getting fans really and theorists really coming together and you know. Finally trying to put a linear context to these franchises and these worlds that we have grown up with and through.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because it explained, you know, the original Keyblade War and actually made it make sense and why it carried through and why, as an example, Roxas looks like Sora.
Right.
Looks like...
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give everything away, but looks no. other people. Right. So, like, that was explained because I'm like, okay, like, everybody knows that Roxas is Sora's Heartless, but how and when did that happen?
I just love that they're finally Heartless found away, fully, guys. Like, there's more to Roxas than
there's Kingdom way Hearts more to Roxas.
Is letting you know.
Right. But, like, but that happened in other games.
Right. Right. Very true. But I just you love know, that we, well, I mean, I played those, so, like, I got some of those nuggets. And I was like, I'm so glad. Because I had a feeling that there was something up. I'm like, this game likes to put things out in plain sight and really challenges the player to hold on to whatever that first little inkling of there's something else going on here. And like they put that on us to be like, if you really want to know, you'll continue this journey and you'll figure it out. Broke at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2 when you know obviously Roxas had to like, you know, sacrifice using hate to say it using air quotes here sacrifice himself to reawake you know Sora and I like that it's like by the way it's not done yet he's just exiting stage right he will come back so like it's nice so it's kind of like mini spoilers kind of sort of spoilers but anyway continue.
But I thought it was really interesting because, you know, there were certain things that, like, again, because I didn't play all of the, I will say, excess games that I thought, but actually they weren't. They're all critical story games, and Square Enix just didn't tell anybody. It was like, hey, if you really love this, you're going to play these. And I'm like, no, I don't need to play that. It's just a DS game. It's your filler thing, and it's not filler.
This is all side canon that may or may not need to come back for the, oh, shit, this is actually
ready?
Canon.
And then it turns out, yeah, exactly. That's what it was like. Oh, here's all this side canon filler, and I, like, I don't do filler episodes. Like, I skip all the fillers in anime series until I'm like, okay, well, let me know when you're going to get back to this. Bleach. Fucking yep. bound. Whatever. So, I see you over there, Naruto. Anyway, so, I didn't play them. And as I was watching this video, I realized, holy shit, there's a whole lot that I missed mm-hmm. by not playing those games. And I'm not going to go back and play them because there's too many of them to actually play between now and January. Also, I don't think I've turned my DS on in over a year and a half. So, I don't even know if that shit will even take a charge. But it was really interesting to see the relationship of, you know, Trinity, which mm-hmm. is a running theme in the game, right? You know, you have your main party of three, Sora and your two companions.
Yes.
That you switch out, you know, mm-hmm. as needed, right? But really the core story, which for many of us we thought started in one with Sora, Riku, and Kairi,
no.
is really a story of three that is before that, and it is the three from the council from the original Keyblade Wars just being reborn and retold and reborn and retold because their hearts take sanctuary in other people's bodies.
Yep.
And I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Guys, the fuck? So
yeah.
This nobody was created because Kairi did this, but this nobody was actually because Kairi is this person, somebody, and this heartless, and this nobody. And I'm like, wait, okay, yeah. There's way too many people being created because people go into various states of just being knocked the fuck out.
It just goes to show you that, you know, maybe we're all each other and then also nobody.
We are all one.
Because it's like, hey, Pandalicious ate a muffin. We'll eat a muffin tomorrow instead of her usual bagel. And that, in turn, has now made a totally different panda who, like, is vegan.
It just...
Like, the fact that I love the idea of applying the whole, like, multiple universe into, like, multiple souls or, like, same soul, different variation of soul. Because it's just, like, this is a very dense... like triple-decker club sandwich.
Right, which many of us just thought was like a straightforward thing, right? It's about Riku, Kairi, and Sora.
No, sir.
Actually, it's about Anzum the Wise and Anzum's nobody.
Yep.
And Roxas and Sora, which is Sora Roxas, the same thing, and Kairi and the blue-haired chick, but actually it's also about Xehanort and these other 13 motherfuckers. Also, have we mentioned that it's about this X-Blade, not the Keyblade, but really it's about the X-Blade.
Well, the X-Blade is like the most powerful Keyblade, but in order to make that Keyblade, other shit's gotta happen first.
Right.
But in order for that shit to happen... Other shit has to happen.
Like, I was playing this game thinking that it's all about the Keyblade and getting the Master Keyblade. No, actually, this shit is about the Master Blade.
Yeah.
It's about the X Blade, really.
And I mean, it's not even about getting it, it's just about making it.
Right.
Like,
so much like,
Xehanort's just like, I just want to make this thing, but in order for this to happen, I got to do a lot of other really bad things.
Right. And I'm just like, wait, so guys, can't we just simplify this?
Can we really?
Because I was like, you know what? I should have stayed like oblivious because before watching this video, I was like, oh, this is just straightforward. And it's just about going to these different worlds, getting some stronger Keyblades, and then we're eventually going to take out Xehanort. And then I'm like, no, because it's not just about taking out Xehanort. It's about taking out his fucking nobodies. All of them.
I mean, it also doesn't happen that one of the Xehanorts has the ability to travel through time and space.
Right, so that's a problem.
Because there are so many great theories about the Kingdom Hearts timeline. I actually like the one that came out of the Game Theorists. I'm really into Austin from the Game Theorists, because he did his theory on the timeline for Kingdom Hearts and how he figured out, one, that there are more than two Xehanorts.
Yeah.
And how... one of them has the ability to travel through time.
Yes.
At will.
Yes.
Mind you. And the fact that this loop has been going on for millennia.
Right.
Because
but when you travel through time, you can only travel in one direction.
Right. But the fact that, you know, one, he's been doing this for a while because he's trying to find the one iteration of the timeline that allows the X-Blade to be made.
Yep.
And for a new Keyblade War to initiate.
Yep.
So, like, the fact that, like, we thought we were at the beginning of this movie and we've been sitting through this movie for millennia.
Right.
Is like
that's what I feel like. I feel like after watching the video, I was eating popcorn and I thought that I was, like, just at the opening, like, 15 minutes of the movie and then realized, no, everything I've played is, like, 67 minutes into a 90-minute movie.
Yep. We've seen this before, but...
We've
seen it before, but we don't remember seeing it before because in this iteration we haven't seen it. Like, I like
Except
the idea that we're playing
with...
you
saw the first 32 minutes of the movie, and I didn't. I thought I did, but I actually didn't.
I love that we're playing around with time paradoxes in a very real, tangible way, which kind of seems to be a theme that's been happening in games fairly recently now.
Well, it's been happening in Square Enix games for fucking ever.
Yeah. I hate to say it, generally, they're fairly good at games with time paradoxes in them. I just love that they've been keeping this in the pocket for years now. And now it's like, okay, guys, by the way, time travel. And then, like, people just want to rip out their hair. The operatic music comes on. People are flipping tables. Things are on fire.
Right, because I was like, I'm sitting over here like, when the fuck was a Heartless created from Sora? Like, how did Roxas actually happen? And I'm like, oh, because if I had actually played 358 over 2 days, whatever the fuck it's called, then I would have known that the blonde chick, what's her
who
name?
Who is she?
Kairi's
nobody.
Nobody.
Because when a princess or one of pure heart becomes a nobody, if it happens, because it doesn't happen often, but when it does, that nobody has a very special ability or power. Which, in the opening of Kingdom Hearts 2, we see that she is able to manipulate the current time that she is in if she draws it, which is how she captures...
Right, you know. And I'm just sitting there like, when the fuck was a nobody from Kairi made? And I was like, that shit happened in the first fucking game.
Yep. But you didn't know that because
but I didn't know it.
Because you weren't playing that game and the 3DS game simultaneously.
So I was like, holy shit. So the,
which if actually, if you find someone who will do that, you can actually see the... in the first game when those things happen, how they correlate to that 3DS game. Because remember... Sora is traveling up this, like, you think it's just like a tower boss game for him to get all the way up to, you know, Blondie McBlondie at the top. But at the same time, you've got Riku traveling the other staircase in tandem to what's going, like, it's masterful. It's convoluted.
And I'm literally, like, I got through the whole thing, and then I just, like, sat back, and I was like, okay, all right, you know, I... bitch a lot about how long it's taken them to develop Kingdom Hearts 3. And then I was like, well, now I understand why. Because you guys are
continuity.
All this fucking canon to make sure that your continuity is right.
Yep. And I mean, if there's anything, yeah, continuity is
and I'm
key
like,
and vital in this.
All right. I'm actually going to give
even
you a
pass. Single distinct plot hole or contrivance, the internet
right.
will
I'm literally
mighty
gonna be like,
morph.
I'm I'm now giving Square Enix a pass because I'm like, now I understand why it's taking you 9 years to come up with this game because there's a lot of fucking continuity issues that you've created for yourselves because of all this time travel that if you're wrapping it up now, yeah, that would take a little bit to unpack.
Yeah, yeah, it would.
That would take maybe 9 years to unpack.
Because you got that one person reading through the scripts like, so we had him say this in number one. It got referenced in Dream Drop Distance. Should we have it now in here somewhere too? Yes, do it.
Right, because we got to have Trinity. Now, again, nobodies are created here and Heartless are created here. We haven't really talked about how Xehanort has actually gotten these three nobodies going. So we need to talk about that. So how are we going to bunch that up in a way that, like... if he's able to do that, why is nobody else able to do that?
Right.
You know, obviously, if he's figured out how to time travel, why hasn't Anselm the Wise figured that out? Or has he? If so, what would his reaction be? Because, like, he's got his splits. Xehanort's got his splits. Then, of course, there's all the splits that have happened with Riku and Sora and poor Kairi.
Yep.
So how do we get those all together? Also, how do we explain how and or why those princesses of pure heart themselves have not experienced splits? Like, there's a lot of... like, I'm sure that, like, there's just a really big wall someplace.
Well, I think for the other...
that just has a massive fucking time...
I don't think any of them have had their... like, they were just being kept and their power harnessed. They were never, you know, unlocked. They were never, you know... keyed. So I think that's why...
that we know of in the current timeline?
In the... Right. That's very true.
Okay, there was a Keyblade battle before.
That's also very true. So, but we shall see. Because, like...
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. I say woof. So, I'm not gonna bitch anymore about how long it's taken for them to finalize KH3. Because I understand now why... because after watching that Eurogamer thing and then going and, like, doing research and actually looking at different stories and different characters and how supposedly, like, some theorists have theorized people have split shit, I'm like, this is why. This is why. Okay. Yeah, I see you. First of all, clap it up for that kind of dedication. Okay, because there's a lot of games who are just like, you know what, we're going to fuck and throw out everything that happened before because we can't keep up with that continuity and we're just going to start fresh from this point. Too ready to reboot. We're just gonna start fresh from this point, right here. We do this right here. Okay, so this is what we got to do right here. I'm hyped for the game. Let me just...
Yeah, me too. 100% me too, all the way. Go Bobcats.
One of Ninja's favorite YouTube gamers is Jacksepticeye, and he was the subject of part of episode 594.
One of my favorite YouTubers, Jacksepticeye, took a break.
Oh, I heard he's taking an extended
He's back
break.
Now, but he took a break.
Oh, okay.
And he basically took like a week. And
good for him.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where like I watch Jack daily. I love his attitude. I find myself typically I align with how he feels about games. So, typically if I watch him play a game, if he enjoys a game, it's probably a game that I would enjoy. We have similar sensibilities. Right. But I love his energy. I love his production value. I love the types of games that he plays. I get introduced to a lot of games that I normally wouldn't on the PC side because of Jack. And so when I got the alert that a new video was up, I was really excited because he's one of the few streamers that I've watched for a long period of time. And, like, he's consistent. There's
yeah. I think in the video where he was talking about taking his break, like, he was literally like, I adhere to my post schedule, and I have been doing it for, like, 5 years.
Right. The entire time Jack's been running, like, he hasn't missed a day uploading, And even when he's gone out on tours, he's had videos stacked, ready to go. And what I thought was really great and touched me and resonated with me was... when he did his video about needing to take a break and talking about where he was mentally and emotionally, which was feeling very drained, not feeling very creative, feeling like he was creating videos just to adhere to that schedule and not playing games.
Doing content that he wanted to be doing.
Doing content that he really felt motivated to do because he wanted to do the content. I understand that a lot. I think that a lot of us can. Who hasn't been working in a job, a thing that is a paycheck that has become just the paycheck and it's no longer the joy of doing the work or being around the people that you're around. And when you think about streaming, especially Let's Plays, that's for the most part, for many of the people who have gotten to a certain level of success, it is a very lonely thing because it is a very solitary thing. Like, unless you've structured your Let's Plays to be co-ops to begin with, it's just you playing a game and many
talking
times,
to people that you hope are listening.
Right. But it's you by yourself, and many YouTubers, edit their own videos, so it's you playing games for 4 or 5 hours a day and then editing for another 4 or 5 hours a day by yourself. It is a very solitary thing. And so to do that for 5 years, I can absolutely understand the feeling of burnout, the feeling of loneliness, the feeling of, especially after going out and doing tours where you are around other people and out in the community, coming back to that solitary thing can be a very jarring thing. So I completely not only understood but supported Jack in taking the time off. I frankly was a little concerned because when he was talking, he was saying how he was going to be traveling for a trip out to the States here, out to LA, and was only going to be taking 3 days off and, was going to come back. And kind of in my heart, I was like, dude, like, take a couple weeks off. Like, just take some time to go out with friends. And, whether it's people in the industry or not, just enjoy some shit. Like, see some movies. Go out to a theater. Like, if you're going to be in LA, shit, hit up the beach. Go to the pier. Like, get out into the world and do some stuff and just kick it. Like, I'm staying subscribed. I'm going to be here when you come back. And whatever content that you're bringing when you come back, I'm going to give it a chance. Like, let's do this. And it was really nice to see, for me, last night, which will be a couple of days before you guys hear this podcast, where he did his video saying, kind of checking in and letting people know that he's coming back, but why it was longer than what he expected and where he was at and the little bit of journey and some things that he had been talking through with some of his friends out in LA, I felt, really good because the guy that I saw on the video saying, hey, I'm going to be gone for a few days, looked really depressed, looked really sad, looked kind of lost. And the guy that I saw on the video saying, I'm coming back, this is just me checking in, I'm okay, looked like he really was okay. So I completely believe in taking some time for yourself. You know, it's just like taking some time to bake a game longer. You know, like I always use as kind of like my gold standard of that being BioShock Infinite. Like the game that it ultimately ended up being was not the game that, you know, initially we got hyped about. There were massive redos, changes of characters, story, design, mechanics, because they got to a point and realized, this isn't exactly what we want. And we're coming up on, you know, nut cutting time to make this golden master. You know what? We're going to pause. We're going to go back in. We're going to take more time. We're going to make this right. You got to be able to comfortably hit pause. You know, it's why now I don't get upset really at all. And I know some people really do in the community get butthurt when a game's ship date changes. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as you're taking more time to bake it, to make it what it should be, I'm okay with it. Like, I wish they had taken more time on Andromeda. Like, it didn't have to come out when it came out. I think that if BioWare had spent more time on Mass Effect Andromeda, it could have been a much better game. And it should have been a much better game because they should have taken that time instead of ripping people off of it and putting them on Anthem and kind of double downing on the bet on Anthem and assuming that anything labeled Mass Effect would sell and be acceptable, you know? Right. So I'm all for hitting pause. So I'm with you. Like, I think there's a difference between being slovenly and being lazy and being a procrastinator and just taking some you time. Like, those are all on different levels to me. I will say I do take you time. I don't take it as often as I really should. But there are times where I'm lazy, where I'm like, I have the energy, I have the time, I have the ability to do this thing right now. But I would actually rather just like to continue laying on the couch and watching this Korean drama. So that's what I'm going to do. And part of that is you time, but really part of that is just, I don't want to do the other thing. And that's okay to say as an adult. But to your point, when that becomes like your day, that goes beyond bad habit to me. That's when it becomes like, are you depressed? Like, is this deeper than this? You should probably see somebody. You should probably consult somebody. You should get some help, because that's not a place that you should stay all the time.
I agree.
For episode 507, the girls devoted the whole show to playing the just-released game Gears of War 4. Here's some parts of their play that we left out.
Are there, though? Is there really? Oh, shit, no. There are. They are, like, right on him. Oh, shit. I thought about it. What was there, too? Back to the snub. Okay. Yeah, you are.
Let's get you back down.
Yeah. That thing.
Yeah.
We're going to do that thing.
Yeah, that thing.
We're just going to.
Yeah. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do that thing. That's the thing we're going to do.
Was it fun, though?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Okay. Help me with this thing, little man. Wait, are we going off of it? Yeah. Follow me!
Hey, you remember what you told Raina?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, please, remind me. Get him out. Simple job. Right close. That means you can only get through here, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah, she
said no gears ever.
Yeah, no, ever.
Hi.
Looking so hot there, Gene.
Where's Minister Jin? You're looking magnetic.
Yeah, Jin's kind of a douche. But this whole robot with a hologram projected person's face,
it's kind of creepy.
It's not kind of creepy, it's fucking creepy.
Well, here's what I don't understand about this whole thing. So if you could do this,
Why not just send these things in to fight your war and not sacrifice your physical blood?
Well, you gotta remember, at this point, right now, they're in peacetime.
Really? So far, I have not...
They hadn't built these in the previous...
Got her!
And once you play further in the game, you'll understand. I'm just going to keep saying that as it applies, because I don't want to ruin anything. But once you get further in the game, you'll understand.
This doesn't look very peaceful to me.
Because you got to remember, at this point, they believe that they've wiped out the locusts. And that they've been gone for a while, and it's just humanity kind of coming back to being humanity.
Can we hear the Taco Bell on the way? I'm not racist, I just really like tacos.
No, I'm kind of racist.
Hot dogs! Hot dogs! I'm like, you see a hot dog drive by. Like, they're really hungry. That'd be hilarious. You thought you were done fighting? You're not. No fighting! Yeah, fighting.
So do I have a gun with a bullet? Because I don't believe that I currently
have... You don't
have...
believe in guns with bullets.
I believe in guns with bullets. I believe I don't have any. This is a problem, with the exception of my snub. And snub is definitely not the way to go with these things. Alright, I have got to get to this replicator. Okay,
leave me. I'm yelling, Timber! More shooting. Less QQ, more pew pew. Reppin' all the duck life. Duck life, dodge life, dodge life. Yeah, I'm reppin' for the dodge life. When in doubt, dodge.
Dude, will you stop picking up all the boom shots? Oscar keeps
I didn't pick any up.
No, not you, Oscar. Oscar's carrying, like, two boom shots, I swear. Alright, and we don't have anyone there.
Oscar, stop being a cunt.
Okay. Let's
okay.
You're like, don't be a cunt. You're like, okay. No, I really did save you. Per se.
Dude, when she says people, does she mean me and my uncle?
Oh.
To the windows, to the wall, to the scratched up down my bowels.
Nobody appreciates me, baby.
Anyone need ammo? You do?
Yeah, because I don't...
Yeah, you take that.
One shot left.
Mom's spaghetti.
Mom's spaghetti.
Ugh! Yeah. Doors don't need hands. They need their butts kicked by my boot.
Nope, not going through that
door. I want to bang... I was like, I want to bang that door, and that door, and that door.
I want to bang all the doors. I just like how
I love that these all look like side die. Yeah. Roll for constitution, like, now.
I do feel bad that I can shoot my comrades. I feel poorly about that.
Do you, though? Because, I mean, I do. Keep doing it.
I can't help it. Sometimes they walk in front of my bullets. And I'm like, why'd you do that? You know I was putting the bullets over there.
Putting my bullets over here, right here.
In March of 2016, the girls experimented with doing videos of their gameplay. Here are several excerpts from that experiment which show why they never carried on with regular video playthroughs.
He was onto something big.
My dick.
Bacon. What?
I have the scoop. Nathan Drake's dick, as long as people says it is. News at 11.
What is it with you and Nathan Drake's dick?
That barmaid in Lima wanted my D. She wanted that SD.
Oh, God. You know,
Sully maybe, dick.
Maybe this was a bad idea.
I'm just gonna find more reasons to say dick.
I know, and it's my fault.
We're right on top of my dick.
Oh, God. I apologize for her.
Don't. I apologize for no one.
You should apologize for yourself.
Awesome. Like my dick.
No, your dick is not holding up that fucking
My dick is so strong.
No, it's not. You also do not have a dick.
I
do don't. Not.
They're the symbols of my dick.
Oh, Lord. This might be the last Let's Play we ever do together.
The first of the last.
Yeah, I think
from
it was.
My dick.
Oh, no, not again. No more with your dick. We had enough of that last go-round.
You like my dick? Bent over backwards, ready
Look,
to receive my dick.
Look, the Incans are about the gold. Can we focus on the game and not your dick that you don't have?
Fine. The That's best part of waking
Wait,
up.
No, 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 no. Copyright, no. Play the game. You're driving.
Sucking on my dick.
See, this is why we can't have nice things. You're why we can't have nice things.
I'm gonna
go ahead, monkey.
Across your dick.
Will you stop it?
Nathan Drake ain't got nothing on me.
Actually, Nathan Drake has everything on you. Actually.
He's got a penis.
Oh, God. Yeah. What's behind door number two? Well.
My dick.
Funny. No.
Knock, knock. Who's there? My dick.
Panda? No more dick jokes. Focus. Will you stop it?
My massive boner?
Oh, will you stop with your dick? You don't have a dick.
Feel my boner. It feels good.
Panda, I'm going to take the controller away from you.
Don't! I don't rely on women.
What?
I'm just kidding.
That is the most sexist thing to come out of your mouth today besides my dick, oh my God, my dick.
My dick is so huge.
You don't have a dick. Also, don't fall. Did you just shoot that guy in the dick?
Yep. That's how you own dicks, by shooting them.
Wow. Wow. I got nothing to say except wow. My voice is coming back, which is really nice.
Like my dick.
Will you stop it?
My dick is a double feature. Your dick went straight to DVD.
No.
That's not the right words.
No, it's not.
So that's it for our show for this week. The girls should be back next week. So, until then, please check out our website at electricsistahood.com. Add us to your bookmarks so you can read all the stuff we're writing about throughout the week. The entire team posts news and reviews on the site, so make sure you hit it up. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, you can also read our articles on Apple News. You can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes. Listen on our homepage on the web or use whatever app you use to listen to podcasts on your phone or computer. Just search for the Eshcast. You can also get it in Stitcher Radio, Google Play, VogueNetwork.com and pretty much anywhere you can find fine podcasts. If you can't find us on your favorite podcast app, let us know and we'll try to get it there. If you enjoy our show and the stuff we write about, which includes video games, anime and general nerdery, make sure you enjoy the other voices in our network of shows. We feature shows like No Borders, No Race, a podcast and website hosted by King Baby Duck over at b3crew.com. SmashDrook.com is helmed by Hamsterman2049, whose weekly video show can be found at twitch.tv/Hamsterman2049. Check out his streams every Wednesday night. Make sure you listen to Phil the Issues Guy. Phil's recap and review is on YouTube. Call in and be part of the show. His archives can be found on his website at issuesprogram.com. Also be sure to visit the team at nerdcrave.com. They do all the nerd stuff, everything you crave at nerdcrave.com. So bookmark all of our sites, subscribe to all of our shows. You can comment on our social networks. Give us a follow and a like. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/electricsisterhood. On Facebook at facebook.com/landofesh. On Twitter and Instagram at ESHnews. Ask us questions. Comment on the stuff that we post. Share us with your friends. Let us know if there are games or anime that you would like us to review. That's it for the business. For Ninja Sista and Pandalicious, I'm Siri. And, as Woody Allen says, you can live to be 100 if you give up all the things that make you want to live to be 100.